Wow. I've had the pleasure of seeing that video a couple of times, and for some reason it calls up a couple of memories that I have as a kid that I had completely forgotten about. What is it about kids that seem okay with the mystery and the unanswered questions? And sometimes things pop out of my own kids' mouths, and I just go, where did that come from? And I'm going to pray for us as we get started that just whatever was called up for you watching that video would just be in your mind and heart as we continue together today. Father, I ask that you be with us and that you would fill this room and fill our minds and hearts with nothing but you, and that you would help us to understand how to connect to you and into the realm where you are King. Amen. Well, hey, everybody. My name is Allie Patterson, and I'm a pastor here at Crossroads, and I'm just as intrigued by the spirit realm as all of you, or most of you probably are, so I'm excited to be the one here talking to you today about how we contact whatever is out there in the spiritual realm. And I'm a pastor, and so people talk to me about what they think of God. Some people actually avoid me because they don't want to talk about what they think of God. That happens too. But most of the time, people share things with me about what they think of God. And I will tell you probably the number one by far and away comment that I have heard over the course of years and years is that I just don't feel him. I just don't experience God. And there's a yearning. And I think if that's you, if you identify with that statement in any possible way, then just know that you are absolutely not alone. That almost everyone I talk to about God, it goes in and out of periods where they would make that statement. That they just yearn for contact with something in the spiritual realm that is real, with God himself. And today we're talking about the means by which God has opened for us to contact him in the spiritual realm, and actually the medium for relationship with God himself, and that is prayer. Prayer. And I want to make a confession as I start today. Maybe I should have just introduced myself like this. Hi, my name is Allie, and I stink at prayer. And yes, I'm not afraid to admit it. Sometimes when I'm praying for somebody or even myself, I have this little voice in my head going, you're just not very good at this. These aren't the right words. These aren't the best words. There's probably somebody more spiritual that should be praying for this person right now. You just aren't very good at this. And I've had this line of thinking lodged in my head for quite some time. And again, if you're with me, I want you to set aside your baggage with prayer, if you have any, because I think those thoughts come from something in us that thinks of prayer as this religious exercise that we should have somehow mastered by now. At least that's where it comes from in me, and I just want to acknowledge that that is kind of sometimes what we think of prayer, or what we were even explicitly taught about prayer in our past, and I want to set that aside today, and I want to open a different conversation about prayer, one where we start to think of it a little bit differently, and that is as prayer is an ongoing connection with God himself. That we have open to us this way into the spirit realm where we can make contact, and not just make contact, but have an ongoing communication with God himself. And that is the essence of prayer. And I think the reason that we yearn for this is because of what that video sort of conjured up in me. And that is the deep desire as a human being to be known, not just by God, but by each other. I think, just think of your best friend or maybe your spouse, somebody close to you, your grandmother, whoever you really feel connected to. And I think we would use language like, that person just really gets me. Or they see who I am, or we just really connect. We use that sort of language, and all of that language points to this deep need that we have as humans to be understood and known at a deep level. And we instinctively apply that to God. We want to know that there's a God who also knows us. And that is how prayer should ideally feel. Prayer should ideally feel like we are contacting a God who actually can communicate somehow back to us that we are known. Psychologists would say that this feeling of being known is actually the thing that love itself is based on. The feeling of being loved by someone is inextricably linked to them letting you know, I see you, I get who you are, I know you. And I want to open your thinking about prayer today, that maybe there's some way that we could reach into the spirit realm that we're talking about and actually find God and actually receive a communication from Him whereby He lets us know somehow that He sees us, He gets us, He knows us. To me, that is ideal prayer. And that is what I want from God, because ultimately, at the end of the day, I want to actually be loving God, and I want to know that He loves me. We're going to look at three types of prayer, and I think each of these types of prayer plays a role for us in experiencing God actually being able to tell us, I know you. And the first kind of prayer, I think, is the most common. This sort of prayer is what I call prayers of help. These are our everyday kinds of prayers. These are the prayers that you pray on the way to the grocery store. Help me, Jesus, find a parking place. Or the prayers that you pray for your kid when they go off to their first day at a new school and you're like, God, just bring them a friend. It's alongside our everyday life. Or maybe you get on an airplane and you have a habit of as you buckle your seatbelt, you say, God, I really want you to be with the pilot. I'd like to land on the other side of this flight. And they're just normal everyday prayers that we pray alongside our everyday life. There's nothing wrong with these kind of prayers. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of these kind of prayers. We see them all through the Bible, people praying for their own children, for sickness, for health, even for the weather. And the problem that I have experienced in this realm is that I don't regularly experience that feeling of connecting with God when this is how I pray. When I just throw these prayers up as I move about my life, I really don't ever have an interaction where I walk away from God and I think, boy, we really just connected. He really gets me. It's more like I kind of toss them up and I'm not sure where they go, and maybe He hears them, He probably does, but I have found a little bit more traction, and something I want to share with you that I do. I already told you I sink at prayer, so I need to help myself. And what you'll see here is a picture of my prayer journal. It's just a journal I keep. There's nothing secret about it. But I organize my help me prayers in a grid. Days of the week, different categories. These are people, places, normal things in my life that I want to seek God on a regular basis. And so instead of being haphazard with my prayers, I try to apply a little bit of structure, a little bit of discipline. But if I'm honest, I've learned that these are not the places where I usually experience real interaction with God that ends up changing my day, changing my heart, changing who I am. I am not going to stop praying these prayers. I will never stop praying these prayers because they're good and they're right. They're just not as relational as we have access to be with God. And I think if we only operate in this realm of prayer, we might even become a little disillusioned. And we might end up sounding like the words of Psalm 69:3 that says, I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for God. Sometimes what we're looking for is something that's bigger, something that's deeper, something that's beyond or underneath these prayers that we tend to just toss up on our way. And I think that's the second realm of prayer. And I would call this the hope of God. They're prayers that need to reach for the hope that only God can bring. We lack ability as human beings to provide some things for ourselves, and the quicker we realize that, the quicker we enter this realm of prayer. Just this week, I started doing what I always do with God. I sat down on Thursday morning, and I had my Bible open, and I was reading whatever I was reading, and pretty soon my eyes just glazed over, and I was like, this means nothing to me today, because it's 6:40 in the morning, and I'm already spent. I'm already on a thin margin. And so instead, I closed the book, and I just said to God, I can't do this day without you. And I just began to explain to Him why, from the moment I opened my eyes, I knew I don't have what it takes to get through this day. I've been living in one of those weeks like we all live sometimes where we just can't do it all. And we're just not enough. And so I just began to explain that to God, and He met me in that place. And I want to tell you, I so want to tell you exactly what He did for me, but I don't want to set up some new paradigm that you feel like you'd have to meet with God, because where He met me in that place was because I am me and because He knows me. And instead, I think the best thing to do is just start talking to God like this. Be brave enough to enter this realm of prayer with God. Listen to this from Psalm 51. This is somebody looking for something they can't give themselves. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. When we reach for the hope of God in prayer, we are asking for the deep things, the big things, forgiveness, wisdom, comfort, peace. Have you ever tried to renew your own spirit? How did that go? Have you ever tried to create a pure heart in yourself or blot out your own transgressions, your own wrongdoing? These are things that only God can do. God meets us in our reality, and he wants all of it. And I want to tell you an encounter I had with the hope of God that shocked me. I went looking for it, and it still shocked me. I was in a group with some women, and we had a small group that met, and we didn't all know each other very well at the beginning. And one of the women, as we were getting to know each other, explained that while she had a lovely teenage daughter, she had always wanted another child, and there was never any particular diagnosis or reason. She'd just never been able to become pregnant again. And you could tell it was a very tender place, and maybe one where she was past the point of hopelessness, almost just in resignation to it. But being new in her life, we sort of all looked at each other and went, well, let's pray for this. Well, let's just ask God. Well, let's pray. And so there were seven of us. So we organized ourselves for a week. And we each took a day, and the next one took over on the very hour that the previous person had stopped, and we decided we're going to cover her in 7 days of prayer. We're going to ask God, please, would you bring your hope to this situation? And most of us in that 7 days also fasted along with our prayer. We just went without food just to tell God, listen, we're serious. We want you to hear these prayers more than we want food today. And so we kind of put those two together. And at the end of the week, she felt very encouraged by it. We just, you know, kind of met again and told her about our experience. And then we all moved on until a few months later, when she walked into our meeting and her lip was quivering. And she looked at us and said, I'm pregnant. It had been 12 years. You guys, our voices hurt from screaming. My voice hurt for 4 days. But why was I screaming? I was certainly delighted with her joy over having a baby. And that baby is a child today. And I don't think we even expected to encounter what we encountered. I'd love to say that we did, but I think, honestly, we weren't even sure what we would find. We weren't sure what would happen. And lo and behold, through our prayers, she got the hope of God in an amazing and tangible and miraculous way. And the rest of us, we walked away thinking, wow, what we do in this realm of prayer, it really matters. And God, I can't believe that you heard us, that you know us, that you cared about what we were doing here. We're just seven gals in the suburbs. I mean, who knew what we were going to encounter? And we ran smack into the hope of God. And it built long-term experience with me, not just this experience, but put this in a string of others where I interact with God in a way that I learn he hears me, he knows me, he gets where I live, he knows where I am, he knows what I'm saying, he knows me. This is what we're looking for out of prayer. And to me, beyond her tangible blessing, this is what we all received who were a part of that. But if we live in the realm of prayer, of just help me Jesus prayers, and we never come to God, we never come to God with these bigger requests for forgiveness for something that plagues us, that we carry around guilt for, or comfort for just things that have brought us sorrow, and we don't open these realms of our life to him and ask for his hope, we are missing some of the best stuff God can give, and we remain disconnected from probably the deepest needs that we're ever going to face. When we live disconnected, I actually think we become very vulnerable and very open to other things that are going on in the spiritual realm. I would say that when we live long-term disconnected from God's hope, we become very open to things that are deceptive and even dangerous in the spiritual realm. I don't know if you were here for the first week of the series, but Brian talked last week about how the spirit realm contains things that are not God. If God exists also in the spiritual realm, then so do some other things that are not God. And he talked about some of them being true counterfeits to God, that even masquerade themselves as goodness or as light to you. And the only way that we can kind of discern what's really happening there is to use our connection in prayer to God. And I can tell you there are definitely other powers at work. And I know I am not that exciting of a person. I don't have that exciting of friends. I love my friends, but we're not like strange and unusual types. And I know a number of people who have consulted spiritual mediums looking for true answers, wanting comfort, wanting peace, wanting to wanting closure, desiring the things that only God can truly ever give us. And this is what I mean. This is a dangerous place spiritually because we leave ourselves open to all kinds of other things in the spirit realm. And I can promise you two things, that anytime we start to shove something else in the place of God, that person, that thing, that exercise will never point us back to him. It will always put itself in the place of God in our life. And this could be, it could be very obvious things like the consultation with a psychic or a card reading or a spiritual medium. It could also be just the advice of somebody that you literally can't make a move in your life without their words. It could be very normal sounding or looking things. Maybe it's the power or the control that you seek at work, so that you never have to come to God in need like this. But when we shove other things in the place of God, we put ourselves in a spiritually dangerous position where other types of influences spiritually start to look interesting. And I want you to listen to the story of a woman in our own community who confronted the difference between God and his counterfeit in the spiritual realm. Let's listen to Tara's story.
I've always had this gift. So I'd have dreams, I would have visions. I would know what someone was going to say to me before they said it. Early on, my spiritual practices might look like doing what I called readings. Readings were just simply asking whatever spirit is out there to answer some questions, you know, for this other person. I hadn't really considered what I was doing as negative. I had not considered at all, what did God say about this? I would have considered myself a Christian at the time, by the way. Fast forward when I'm in my late 20s to a more negative experience where an entity came into my bedroom at least 2 weeks, maybe a little bit more. He formed into a person. It was a male, and he would, in a friendly way, enter my bedroom and go, I have plans for you. And it was friendly. It turned into something negative in less than a split second. And he was just on top of me, holding me down. Sorry. that was scary. The only thing I knew to do was just pray, and it would disappear. But this went on again for at least 2 weeks. And right about that same time, we were invited to church. And it really helped me in a gentle, loving, but truthful way find out what God was saying about gifts. I found Deuteronomy 18. Paraphrasing, but in general, it talks about not talking to dead people, not being a medium, not being a psychic. These are detestable practices. And that was heavy. I was mad. I was angry. I remember sitting on my couch going, what? You know, I'm not doing any of these things. I'm trying to be helpful. So I set it aside. So it took me some time to really look inside to see why I was doing this. There was something else that I was getting out of it that wasn't godly. And that took me to 1 Corinthians. It talked about encouraging and strengthening and comforting people. So I thought, wow, I don't think I've really been doing that. Today, I get to use this wonderful gift that the Lord's given me in a way that is so powerful and growing His kingdom and growing me. I let the other person know when I'm praying for them now. You know, if this is not jiving with something that you feel the Lord's saying to you, great. Then take that to the Lord. Always, always take it to the Lord. And it encourages them to go and talk to Him. And that's really what we're doing when we're using our gift of prophecy. All it is listening for the Lord. It makes complete sense when you understand that there is an enemy and he doesn't want us to share any of our gifts, especially with prophecy, when in the Bible it says we should all be listening for the Lord. And that's really all it is. Are we listening to the Lord, and are we encouraging and comforting and strengthening one another? This is how the church grows. I mean, God has so much for you, and it's a good, good thing. It's a good gift.
I noticed when I watched Tara's story that even her language begins to change after she describes coming into contact with God's people and God's word. She began to talk about your connection to God, and she began to use the words of prayer and to push people toward God. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be encouraging one another to do, but counterfeits for God, they never ever will push you in that direction. Always put themselves in the place of that source of whatever you're looking for. And Tara's story seems unbelievable, but it's actually pretty deeply rooted human experience. We're going to look together at a story in the Bible, and I'm going to tell you straight up, this is not a tidy story. This is not one that we can put lots of bows on. We certainly can conclude some things from it, but it is an interaction in the spirit realm with a lot of the same things that Tara was talking about, and it's recorded for us in the Bible in the book of 1 Samuel, and it is about a man named Saul. Now, Saul was the first king of the nation of Israel, and he was specifically chosen by God to be king over his people. So he was afforded a connection with God, and God would speak to him and give him instructions, and sometimes those came through a prophet named Samuel. So they had a close relationship, and so he enjoyed this connection, but over the course of his kingship, if you read about his life, you can see that he began to grasp for his own power. And his own kingship became the most important thing in his life, so much so that even he disobeyed some very specific instructions that God gave to him. And so Samuel came to see him one last time before his own death, and Samuel delivered a word from God to Saul, and he said, "God has taken the kingdom from you. This thing that's become so precious that you're holding on to so tightly, God has made a decision, and you're king now, but you won't be for long." And that was the last time he ever spoke to Saul, and then he died. And I want to pick up Saul's story in the book of 1 Samuel 28. It says this: "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and the spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid, and terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets." So what's going on here to set up this interchange that Saul is about to have is Samuel is dead. And we get this piece of information that's about to become very important, that Saul expelled the mediums from the land. Now, why would the Bible tell us this? It's because of what Tara said, that there was law given by God to the nation of Israel, and the book of Deuteronomy contains a lot of that law, just as Tara mentioned. And one of those laws specifically addressed the spirit realm and consulting anything in that realm except for the Lord, the God of Israel. And the reason is because he considered it treason. It was a law for the nation because the Lord considered it treason to consult something besides him. And so Saul knows this, but he's facing his enemy. The Philistines were the arch enemy of Israel in this era of time. And so Saul is facing, like many of us do, he is facing something he knows he can't handle. He sees the writing on the wall. He's remembering, of course, the word that Samuel gave him before Samuel died, saying, God's going to take the kingdom from you. He's decided you're not going to be king. And he's probably wondering, is this really where it's all going to go down? Here's the next part of this story in 1 Samuel. Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium so that I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor, they said, not the Endor where the Ewoks live, different Endor. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. Consult a spirit for me, he said, and bring up the one I name. Then the woman asked, whom shall I bring up for you? Bring up Samuel, he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said, I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth. What does he look like? He asked. An old man wearing a robe is coming up, she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel and bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Does this sound like Tara's experience to you? She said something like, there was a man, a spirit that took the shape of a man, I think is the language that she used. So let me save you some time. There's a huge scholarly debate about what is this spirit? What exactly goes on here? And I will shortcut it for you so you don't have to do all the reading. Nobody knows. Nobody understands what exactly this spirit is. Is it an evil spirit? Is it a hallucination of some sort? Was it actually Samuel back from the dead? There's all kinds of opinions. We can't tidy this up, guys. But what we can know is what happened, and I'm going to give you the cliff notes. They have a conversation. And whatever this spirit is, gives Saul the exact same word of information that God had already decided. Your kingdom is being torn from you. Tomorrow you lose to the Philistines and you die. That is not what Saul came for. Saul came for a different answer. He was trying to do an end run around God, and he was willing to cash in any connection he had left. He knew he was committing treason against his God, and he was willing to do it to try to hold on to his kingship at any cost. This had become literally his precious. He was still fighting against God's word, still showing the same character he had shown. And so whatever goes on here in the spirit realm, what we know for sure is that our God, the God of Israel, the God in the Bible, he is sovereign over all the spirit realm. Whatever spirit he tried to call up here, whatever actually showed up, we know the word of God stands. There is nothing Saul could have done to change what God had communicated to him, no matter what he was consulting in the realm of the dead. And did you notice? He wasn't looking for God anymore. It doesn't say he got on his face before the Lord. He repented or he cried out. And there's plenty of stories in the Bible where people respond to bad news from God like that. But instead, he cashes in all of his remaining chips and he says, never mind God, I'm going to go to the realm of the dead and I'm going to look for Samuel. I'm going to call up a medium. I'm going to find a way around this. And it doesn't work. And I believe this is because in his lifetime, in the wonderful connection that he'd been afforded to God, he didn't really do what he could have done with this precious connection to God, and that is the third type of prayer. He didn't try to connect to the very heart of God. And the reason we know this is because his character never changed. His character remained the same. His character never really bowed to the ultimate Lord. Prayers that reach for the heart of God are the very essence of relationship. They're the very essence of finding God, connecting to God, and letting him tell you, you are known by me. Listen to the words of Psalm 27:4. To me, this is somebody looking for the heart of God. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Those are something like words might sound if they were only seeking to connect with God's heart. And in my prayer life, I guess if you will, in my attempts to connect to God in the spirit realm, when I go down this path of trying to really get to know God and just wanting to be with him, a lot of times I start with something that sounds a lot like praise. I begin to tell God, this is who I've experienced you to be. This is who I think you are. This is the goodness that I can see in who you are and in what your character is like. Just simple praise. These are private, personal, often kind of pointless moments. They don't serve any purpose. I'm not trying to get help. I'm not even coming for hope. I'm just coming for God. I had one of these interactions with God in my car. It was a random Tuesday. It wasn't very long ago. It was maybe a couple of months ago. And I was by myself, and there was a song on. And about halfway through the song, I realized, wow, I'm really connecting these words to how I feel about God. And pretty soon, I was singing the words actually to God. I hadn't started the song that way, but somewhere in the middle, I realized, I'm singing this to you, God. And so my kind of tone changed, and I'm driving along, and I was on my way home. And so I was arriving home, and I go into my garage. And have you ever done the thing where you don't want the song to end? Like, you're just going to sit there until it's over. And so I'm not Chuck, I'm not going to sing up here, thank goodness, I was by myself. But I was really belting this song out, so I come in my garage and I turn off my car and I just wait there because I don't want to get out of the car before the song's over. So I do that and I close my eyes because I'm not driving anymore and I'm really just singing this song out and I'm feeling it in my heart, and suddenly the entire atmosphere of my car shifted. Something happened in that car when I was sitting there with my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I felt this joy, this like almost giddiness, like I'd just gotten the best news of my life. And this joy just kind of welled up in me. And I just felt happy. I probably smiled, because how can you not when you feel that way? But I still had my eyes closed and I was just kind of soaking this in. And in my mind, I saw a picture, and I wish I was an artist with paints or drawings so that I could get this out of me, because I want you to see it. It was a beautiful place. It was this glorious city, not like Manhattan. Like a beautiful place that you'd want to live. Gardens, this beautiful river surrounded by hills, and the buildings were like on fire with light and gold, and it was just incredible. And combined with this feeling of joy, I didn't want it to end. And I knew as the song was sort of hitting its last few notes, I thought, oh, this is going to go away. I don't want this to go away. And I just didn't want it to be over. And I knew that God had somehow entered my car. Sitting right there in my garage on some random Tuesday morning, he came to me and he went, Allie, I know you. I know that you're in the middle of Tuesday. I know that you're a gal who likes her to-do list. I know I'm a jaw clencher. Like, when I have stress, I clench my jaw so I get headaches and stuff. It's not good. And he entered into my reality before I asked him. Just because I wanted to be with him, and I was singing to him, and I was talking to him, and he came to me, and he gave to me before I even knew what I needed. And he showed up and he filled me with something that I'll carry with me for good, something that I need that I didn't even know how to ask for. He showed me a piece of who he is. And when I opened my eyes, I knew I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to be living here with all y'all. We're still going to be living here. But I know where I'm going. I know he was trying to show me there's something better, and the joy can be yours, and it is yours. And don't forget, we have the privilege of connecting with the heart of God. And he would love to do that. You had to be there moment. That is not going to be your moment. But all I want for you is I want for you to have a growing number of experiences with a God who can tell you, I get who you are. I know where you live. I know what your life is like. You're known by me and you're loved by me. And I think some of us sit in here or wherever we're listening from today, and we hear a story like that, and we think, I just don't get it. I don't think I'm ever going to connect with God like that. I'm not even sure I believe you. And actually, that makes sense. I think that's probably a pretty normal reaction. And I would say that's normal because the Bible makes it clear that we actually start this life spiritually dead. And what spiritually dead means, it means that you cannot interact in the spiritual realm when you are spiritually dead. And the Bible says we're born into this family that goes all the way back to Adam, who broke our connection by sin entering the world. And so we are born into that family. But there's good news. And the good news is that the Son of God took on flesh and he came to earth to reestablish that connection, to give us spiritual life so we could engage in a spiritual realm for all of eternity. Jesus is the end of our alienation from God. He's the end of our disconnection. He's the end of our spiritual deadness. And he didn't just open the connection. He is the connection. He himself is the connection. And he came here and he lived a sinless life, which you and I have no ability to do on our own. And he allowed himself to be murdered on a cross to pay the price for the sin that we are going to commit, the ones we haven't even committed yet, to reconnect us to the Father. And when he rose from the grave, and he ascended back to heaven, where, by the way, the Bible says he is praying for you today. He left the Holy Spirit in his place as a down payment on this eternal spiritual connection to the Father, Son, through the Spirit. And when we come to faith in Jesus and in his death and resurrection, we get permanently, eternally reconnected to the Father. There are two people in here that need a special message today, and one is the truly disconnected. You may have sat through and just thought, okay, fine, but I just don't have any experience with God like this, and I get it. And maybe you feel disconnected because you actually just are disconnected. And one thing I would ask you to do is wrestle with God on who is Jesus, because beyond that, nothing else matters. If it's true that he really died and really rose and really is your reconnection into the spirit realm to God himself, then nothing else matters. And the second person in here is who I would call maybe just the disengaged. I think we might all slip in and out of this a little bit in our life. And those of us who truly have believed and accepted that that is the truth about who Jesus is, we just don't use the privilege of our connection. We don't use it in freedom, in frequency, in confidence. We don't use our connection to God very well. Remember what I said at the beginning when I said, hi, my name is Allie and I stink at prayer? As I was preparing for this weekend, I realized that is an absolute lie. As I went through and combed through my backlog of experiences, trying to figure out how am I going to talk about prayer in a way that might make you want to pray, I realized my name is Allie and my life is rich in prayer. And this is a lie that's lodged itself in my head so that I will disengage, so that I will not use my connection with God with the freedom and the confidence that he wants me to. And so this will be officially the last time I ever say that. I will never again say that I stink at prayer, because all that is doing is keeping me away from the connection that I am afforded as a child of God, and I want that for you. Let me pray for us. And then we're going to do one other thing together. Father, I believe you. I believe that you sent your son here to die on a cross for me, and I believe that he rose from the dead. And I pray that you would testify, your spirit would be here testifying to the truth of that for every single person that hears this, and that you would reconnect every last person listening to your heart and to you yourself in the spirit realm through Christ. Amen. Right now, we're going to take communion together, and we're going to do this because it's another way that we can interact with our God in the spirit realm. And it's for those of us who have, in fact, decided that Jesus was the Son of God who died and rose from the dead. If you have faith, you are reconnected to God eternally and spiritually alive, and communion is a celebration of that. And as you take the bread today, it is a remembrance of what Jesus did on your behalf. And It is a connection point to God himself. Jesus, he will fill this place and fill you because we are connected as the body of Christ when we do this together in remembrance of him. So as you take the bread, I want you to remember that his body was broken so that your connection to God, the Father, can be restored. And as you drink the wine, I want you to remember that blood that he shed on the cross, it actually paid the price for your sin. And you're not just acceptable to God. You are fully reconnected to his heart, to his hope, to his help forever and ever and ever. And that's why communion is a celebration of what Christ has done. One last thing to remember, if you're joining us at home, hopefully you can gather up crackers or bread, you can get juice or whatever is available to participate in communion, and if you're in a room with us at Crossroads, please remember that at Crossroads we are a dipping church, so just dip your bread in the wine or the juice, and the table of the Lord is open. Come and celebrate being reconnected to God.